Well, good morning and happy Sabbath. Good to see everybody out this morning and those watching us on social media. you know, I would like to say, God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. And that's not just a cliche, but it's a true statement. We have to remind ourselves. And I always like to remind, always mention that what day it is for the war in Ukraine. This is day 507. 507 days of the war in Ukraine. But we did get two countries to join NATO, so that's gonna be a help. So today's message, let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for bringing us here this morning. We thank you for your presence of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, for Jesus. As we studied in our Sabbath school lesson, that Jesus is to be exalted, that he is the name above all names in heaven and in earth, and in this earth and in the world to come. So, Lord, we lift up Jesus, and we give him all the praise, honor, and glory. In his name we do pray. Amen. So today's title is The Kingdom of Heaven. And I know that question has probably been asked by people all around the world since the world began. What's heaven like? What is the kingdom of heaven going to be? I had a friend of mine at the job where I used to work. He envisioned heaven as being a place where always can play sports, you know, playing football and stuff. And, you know, I got to thinking, I was like, well, I don't think that's going to quite be that way. Because in order to make a football, you got to kill something. And there's not going to be any death in heaven. So that might be not quite as we envision. But the kingdom of heaven, what is heaven going to be like? You know, you could probably ask everyone in this room what their idea of heaven is going to be. And we would have as many numbers of people, as many different opinions as what heaven is going to be like. So where can we find the answers to what heaven is going to be like? You know, that's, of course, the simple answer is the Bible. We know that. All right, so we can look in the Bible. You know, there's a song we sing in our hymnals, when we all get to heaven, you know. But do we have to really wait until we get to heaven? That's another question. So we want to look at the Bible today. We want to go to, and you have it in your handouts there, Matthew chapter 13. So, and you know, Jesus spoke through parables. He spoke through parables because what reason? Matthew 13 even brings that out. They're simple. There's ways that people can understand, way people could relate to. You know, the people of that time, they were farmers, and Jesus spoke a lot of parables that dealt with farming, dealt with how crops are grown, how crops are planted, you know, and that kind of thing. Because people did that on a daily basis, so they could relate to it, they could understand it. He didn't give a 4-hour lecture and dissertation on the exegesis of scripture. You know, that's not how he relate to people. He relate to people the way they understood things. So that's what we want to do today. And so there's 8 parables listed in chapter 13, but we're not going to go over all 8. I know you're like, oh, thank God. But you want to go over 2 of them. So, and they're fairly short, and that's the thing about the parables too. Most of the parables were fairly short. He would say something, give a short explanation to the disciples, and that would be it. So that's what we're going to focus on today. So the first one that we're going to look at is the mustard seed. And that's found in verses 31 through 32. And we know in the scripture talks about mustard seed being the smallest seed there is. But it says what? It can grow up to be 12 feet tall. Now, this is not a tree, you understand. This is an herb. Now, we know pine trees, you know, oak trees get to be real tall. But this is an herb that's growing to be 12 feet tall. It starts out at the smallest seed. And it says, what? Even the birds can nest in this, what it grows up to be a tree, the mustard seed. And so the scripture brings out that God's kingdom is the same way. It starts out small. You think about Israel. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verses 6 and 7. It says, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth." So God chose Israel to be his special people. But what does verse 7 say? It says, "The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor chose you because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people." So God chose the smallest group of people to spread his kingdom with, to spread the gospel with. He didn't choose the biggest country with the largest amount of number of people. He chose the smallest one. That's why the parable of the mustard seed is so relatable. People grew stuff. They knew the mustard seed is real small and it grows into a big tree. So God was trying to show them then, this is how I'm doing with Israel. Israel, when Israel comes in to become a nation, it's going to be the same way. It's going to start out small, and then it's going to get large. And the same thing with us, spiritually speaking. Our faith, that's what Jesus is saying, your faith could be as small as a mustard seed. But if you allow God to grow it, to water it, to increase it, as we studied in the Sabbath school lesson, for the Holy Spirit to impress upon our hearts, then it can grow humongous too. You know, that's amazing. So, number two is going to study about, we'll go over the leaven or yeast. You know, it says leaven in some version, then it says yeast. So we can understand, you know, those terminologies in verse 33. So the action and spread of God's kingdom can sometimes be quiet and without notice. It was mentioned earlier about a guy, was it Becky talking about, or was it Saeed? I forget now. Well, mine is losing me. The guy took 20 years to come back to the faith. I forget who was telling that story. Saeed, yeah. So, okay. But think about that. You know, he wasn't into the scripture. He wasn't into what she had to say. So all outside appearances were that, oh, this guy's not paying attention. He's not into what I'm saying. He's a lost cause. But that's not how God works. It may have taken him 20 years, but look, just like what the scripture says, it's a slow, it can be. Some people can join right away. They get the message, they're on fire, they're ready to run a marathon and do evangelistic series and all that kind of stuff. But everybody's not the same way. Everybody's different. You've got your highs and your lows, you got your fast and your slow. So the same thing with the kingdom of God. It's going to be quiet. And the reason sometimes it is that way is because when it's done that way, who gets the glory? God. No person can say, well, like I studied these for this guy and did all 26 lessons in the voice of prophecy and did all these things and brought him out. This person joined the church. They're thinking they did that. No, it doesn't matter if it comes that way, if it takes a long time, it's still the Holy Spirit, God, that's doing that. It says the growth, this is in verse 33, the growth of God's kingdom can also be compared to the quiet action of yeast or leaven, which women put in their bread dough. Without notice, the yeast begins to permeate the dough and the dough begins to rise. So you don't sit and look at the, you put the yeast in there in the dough, and you don't sit and watch it. You do that, Claudette? No. No, you put it there, you set it down, and you go about your business. And the dough, the yeast makes the dough rise, and you come back to it, and it starts out maybe small, and next thing you know, you got this big lump of dough, and you're like, wow, this thing really got big, you know? And that's how the Holy Spirit is. It's quiet. We don't see the actions. You know, the scripture talked about it's like the wind. It blows where it wants. It goes where it wants. We can't control that. Can you go out there and control the wind? I don't think so. Not going to happen. You can go fly a kite and use the wind to do that. I used to fly kites as a kid. We had a field across my house in Rich Spring. And then we would go fly kites in the springtime. And it was a lot of fun. But the chemical reaction of the yeast upon the dough, we don't see that. But we do see the effects of it when the dough rises. So let's go to John chapter 3 and verse 5 through 8. And this is Jesus talking to Nicodemus about being born again. And it's kind of the same similarities, image right here. So verse 5, Jesus answered, "You're right, but I'm not speaking of physical birth." Jesus had told Nicodemus, "Ye must be born again." And Nicodemus said, "Can I go back to my mother's womb a second time?" It's like, "No, Nicodemus, that's not what I'm talking about." No, it's spiritual. He says, "I'm speaking of spiritual birth. Unless a man's spiritual nature is born again through the Holy Spirit and he is willing to be baptized, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is physical is one thing, and that which is spiritual is another." Verse 7, "So don't be shocked when I tell you that you must be born from above to belong to God's kingdom." And verse 8 is the key. "How this happens is beyond human understanding." We don't understand how that works. It's like the wind blowing the trees. You can see the effects of it, but you can't see the wind itself, the place where it came from or where it's going. Now, I know you're going to say, "Well, we've got technology now, because I got an app, I got a weather app, and you got the wind patterns, you can see the swirls, like when there's a hurricane or something, or a tropical storm, and you can see the swirls going around, so you can see that, I get that. But as far as the trees and the wind blowing, you know, I've been out, anybody done any yard work, and you blowing leaves, you may start at one end, and you go in, and the wind's kind of going with you, and then the wind shifts, and then it's blowing back towards you. Now you got the, you know, so we don't know, we can't control the wind. And the same thing with the Holy Spirit. We can't control the Holy Spirit. There's stories in the Bible where people try to buy the Holy Spirit, try to buy God's power. And they said, "No, it's not for sale. You can't buy it, so we can't control it. You can see the effects, but we can't see it." So that's how it is. This is continuing in verse 8. "That's how it is with the person who is born spiritually. He can't point to something people can see and say, 'This is what did it.' No, it's the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit does the changing." And so, like I said, Jesus spoke to parables, and the way we understand parables is the way we understand every other scripture in the Bible. Is how? By other scriptures in the Bible. That's how we understand scripture. The Bible has to explain itself. Man can't explain the Bible. God has to explain it himself. We can read it and get some understanding from it, but there's something that we're reading, we're trying to figure out, what is this talking about? There's other scriptures in the Bible, there's Old Testament scriptures that talks about the New Testament. There's New Testament scripture that refers back to the Old Testament. The Bible explains itself, if we'll listen. And that's how God works. So he gives us the answers through his word. So the kingdom of heaven, we talk about the kingdom of heaven being like some distant, far place, right? You know, when we get to heaven, we're going to do this, and when we get to heaven, we're going to do that, and the earth made new. But Jesus had a different take on that. The kingdom of heaven actually begins here and now within us. Let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. And here Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. He says in verse 20, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come," they want to know too, "Hey, when is the kingdom of God going to come? You talk about this kingdom. When's it coming? When's it going to start?" He answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, 'Lo here,' or 'Lo there.' For behold, the kingdom of God is within you." The kingdom of God is within us. So that means if it's within us, that means it starts now, or supposed to start now. Now, I want to just throw a clarification out. You know, it's not one of these new age things where it's saying, you know, you're God and, you know, God is within you and you make yourself God. No, that's not what I'm saying. Jesus has to dwell within us because he is God. We can't make ourselves God and then Satan tried that. That didn't work too well for him. The clear word, it reads this way. It says, some of the Pharisees asked Jesus, when will the kingdom of God come? He replied, the kingdom of God will not come in the way you're expecting it to come. And that's what happened with the people in Jesus' time period. They were expecting one thing to happen. Jesus shows up. He's the Messiah. He's the Christ. Oh, this can't be this. This man's got a demon. No, he's full of devils. This can't. Prophecy had already spoken how he was going to come. He would come on a donkey. All these other things would take place. He'd be born of a virgin. They didn't believe it, but it's right there in front of their face. It's in front of our face. It says, you can't say, look, though, the kingdom of God starts inside. The kingdom of God starts inside of you. So the kingdom of heaven isn't something that we have to look forward to. Now, physically, yes, there's going to be a change. God's going to bring his kingdom here, his throne here. We get that. But as far as the kingdom of God looking to something that's going to happen long distance, no. It starts here because Jesus is supposed to live inside of us. So if he is inside of us, wherever Jesus is his kingdom, right? So we know that when Jesus returns to this earth after the 1,000 years is over, you know, all that stuff takes place, the judgment, everything's made new, then he's going to set up his physical kingdom. But Jesus is speaking spiritually. Let's go to John chapter 18 and verses 35 and 36. Now here's Jesus talking to Pilate. So first he's talking to the Pharisees, which was the lawyers, all those people who's supposed to be experts in the field. They didn't have a clue. Now he's talking to Pilate, who is a Roman ruler. He says, Pilate answered him, am I a Jew? He says, thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. So Jesus is saying his kingdom is not on this world right now. In the clear word, it brings out a little differently. Verse 35, Pilate asks, am I a Jew? Same thing there. Why should I be interested in whether or not you claim to be their king? It's your own people and their priests who have brought you here for trial. You must have done something to deserve the death sentence. The reason that's important, because the Jewish nation was under occupation by Roman rule, they could not carry out a death sentence on anyone. They had to go to the Roman authorities to get that done. That's why he's at Pilate. And that's why Pilate is saying, you know, you did something to your people. They brought you here to me. You know, what happened? What'd you do? Because the Jews couldn't kill him. Rome had to. So tell me, what did you do? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight to keep me from being arrested. So if you just casually read that, you're thinking, okay, there's a contradiction. You said the kingdom starts here, but Jesus said my kingdom is not of this world. If you go on and read the other half in the clear word, verse 36, Jesus says my kingdom is not a political kingdom, but a spiritual one. So there he's reinforcing the point that the kingdom of God starts within us. It starts now. When we accept Christ as our Savior, the kingdom of God, that's when it starts, within us. And that's why we're supposed to go out and evangelize other people and witness other people. So the kingdom begins inside of them also. So the kingdom of God is where, think about this, when Jesus was speaking to Moses in the burning bush, what did he tell Moses? He said, take off your shoes because the ground that you're standing on is holy ground. It wasn't holy before. It wasn't holy until Jesus was there in the burning bush, and then he told Moses, this holy ground, take off your shoes. Think about Joshua. He was going to go attack Jericho, and Joshua went to pray, and he saw what he thought was an angel, but it was actually Jesus. How do we know that? What did the angel tell him? What did the being tell him? He said, Joshua, take off your shoes because the ground you're standing on is holy ground. An angel doesn't make something holy. Only God can do that. So Jesus was speaking to Joshua at that time as well. So the kingdom of God begins within us. So I like the parables because they're short, they're to the point, and what's really key is that we have to want it. Because if there's something that you don't understand, guess who comes and brings you clarification and understanding? The Holy Spirit. We studied that in Sabbath school. When we're reading the scripture, we come to something, you know, I don't understand this. If God doesn't send someone, just like he did Philip to the eunuch, and send someone to give us clarification, the Holy Spirit will speak to us and say, turn to this verse, read this, or turn to this verse and read this, or go to the spirit of prophecy and read this. Then we get clarification. Then we get understanding. The Bible and God is explaining it to us. So in closing, the kingdom of heaven is here and now because Jesus is here and now with us, right? Jesus lives in our soul, lives in our spirit. He embodies us. And the works that he does through us, we give him glory. So when we do what we do on earth now will determine if we are living in God's kingdom when he returns and if we'll be in the one to come. You know, if you read in the Old Testament, it talks about a silversmith and he's heating up the silver and trying to get the impurities out. And what does it say? He knows when it's ready when. He knows the silver, all the impurities are gone when he can see his reflection in the silver. And so that's the same thing when Jesus comes back. When he comes back, he's going to be looking for his people that have been sealed. You know, the angels are going to seal us, but he's looking for his reflection in us. That's how he knows who his people are. If he looks and doesn't see his reflection, oh, that's not my people. There's my people over there. Okay, yeah. So the kingdom has to be in us now before he returns, because if it's not, we're not going back with him. So that's why the kingdom of God is so important that we understand that it begins here on earth. What Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. That means I've taken residence, the Holy Spirit, not me, the Holy Spirit, I want to get this straight. The Holy Spirit, Jesus is saying, has taken up residence in you, and now you are ready when he returns. So you don't have to overcomplicate it. It's just like the 10 virgins. All 10 fell asleep, right? So the falling asleep wasn't the issue. The thing that's determined or separated the 10, the 5, and the 5 is 5 had extra oil in their lamp, which represents the Holy Spirit. The other 5 didn't. So when the bridegroom came and showed up, the 5 that had the extra oil was able to go in. The other 5 weren't able to because they didn't have that relationship with Christ. The kingdom of God wasn't in them when the bridegroom showed up. So that's the important part. So I just pray that we all stay prayed up, as the lesson brought out this morning, and that we stay prayed up and be ready when Jesus returns to take us home. Thank you.